heard about a couple of lifelong friends, and they had this ongoing argument whether Jesus was black or Jesus was white. They would argue back and forth every time they got together. Well, Jesus is white. No, Jesus ain't white. Jesus is black. And they'd go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And finally, both of them died and went to heaven. And when they got to heaven, Jesus walked up and said, "Hola, muchachos. Buenos días. ¿Cómo están todos?" Turns out it was Jesus all along. Well, this is the last Sunday of our series on hot topics, guaranteed to make you uncomfortable while you sit and sweat in your seats. And we've been going through some uncomfortable issues, some hot button issues, and I know it's been tough at times, but we need to address the tough things, because if we don't, the devil will. Okay, and I want you to know the truth, so you don't fall for the lie. And then, like I said last Sunday, I give you guys props for being here every week during this series. This has been a long series. It's been a touchy series. It's been a difficult series. But you guys have hung in there with us. So good job for that. Come on, tell you. Pat your neighbor on the back. Tell him good job. Good job. Good job. Good game. Good game. It's almost over, y'all. It's almost over. We're going to do our final message in this series and then take communion here in just a few moments. But today, while you're here, and since I've got the microphone, let me talk about racism. Racism. I'm going to talk about what the Bible says about it. Then we're going to pray and take communion together. And I think this is the perfect Sunday for communion, because Generation Church is a special place, y'all. Amen. This is a place where people from all backgrounds can come together and worship Jesus. And I love that. I don't know if y'all have seen our new sign over there on Oak Forest. Many cultures, one family. This is a special place, and one of the reasons why this church is special is because Sunday morning is still the most segregated hour of the week in America, but not here. Amen. Amen. I believe God's doing something special in our church. He wants to do in every church. He wants us to be united. I really believe that the local church ought to be a reflection of heaven. People from every nation, tribe, and tongue worshiping God together. And it's good that we talk about this issue, because unfortunately there have been so-called Christians who have hurt the cause of Christ because they've stood in the wrong place concerning racism. Kevin, I just saw your shirt. Will you come up here and show off that shirt this morning? I tell you what, you're sitting right on the aisle. Look, check this guy out. Pastoral photobomb. Says, racism goes to hell, don't go with it. I'm so glad you wore that today. That was not planned by us. It was planned by God. Unfortunately, guys, the church is still divided in many places. And there have been people who have actually tarnished the name of Jesus because they've hung on to racism more than they have a love for the lost. Think about Mahatma Gandhi. Okay, did you know that Mahatma Gandhi was obsessed with Jesus? He was a fan of Jesus. He read the teachings of Jesus. He studied them meticulously. He was fascinated by the things that Jesus said and the things that Jesus taught. And I believe that God was dealing with his heart pretty heavy, because one day when he was traveling through South Africa, he decided he was going to go to a Christian church because he wanted to know more about this Jesus of whom he was reading. So Mahatma Gandhi walks up to the doors of an Anglican church in South Africa, and they stopped him at the door and said, "Your kind's not welcome here." Can you imagine the influence Mahatma Gandhi could have had for the Christian faith? But some racist church folks stood in the way. Woo, that's tough, y'all. That is tough. Even among Pentecostal circles, we've been divided historically. One of the amazing things about the Azusa Street Revival in the early 1900s is that it was an interracial move of God. Not only did people who were black and white worship together as equals, But God poured out his spirit on men and women, and a lot of the early leaders in the Pentecostal movement were women. But what happened is everybody left the revival and they went home and then they segregated. Mm. Too many churches are divided, but God wants us to be united. So this morning, again, this is a short message. Aren't you glad we're taking communion today? I've just got a couple pages here. I want to give you three simple truths that apply to all people. Number one is this: we're all the same race. We are all the same race, okay? I really hate the term race anyway because it implies that we're somehow different species, different creatures altogether, but that is a bunch of garbage. There is only one race of people, and that is the human race. Whenever I'm filling out a form and it asks me for race, sometimes I kind of laugh because I just want to write human being. Because there's really just one race, y'all. It doesn't matter. Different colors of people are not different species of people, okay? We are all one race, and that is the human race, okay? And I want to just debunk this a little bit, okay? Because if each ethnic group was truly a different race, that would mean that Jesus only died to save Middle Easterners. If we were all completely different races, okay, we're all in trouble. Jesus died to save Middle Easterners, okay, but there would also have to be a black Jesus and a white Jesus and an Asian Jesus and a Jesus, okay? But that's not the case. Amen. Jesus came, one man, to save the entire human race. Amen. In fact, if you go back far enough, we're actually all related. We are all family. Look at somebody sitting near you and just tell them, I'm related to you. I'm sorry, it was a bad day to bring your boyfriend to church with you this morning. I hate to be the one to tell him, but y'all are related, okay? But seriously, there's only one race of people, and we all belong to that race, the human race. The Bible says in Acts 17:26 that God made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. God made us all from one blood. Okay? One family. Not different families. One family. I don't know if Adam and Eve, maybe they were calico. I don't know. But we all descended from them. Okay? We're all part of the Adams family. We're all related. King James puts it like this: God hath made of one blood all nations of men. So we're all related to one another. Not only are we all the same race, not only are we all related, but we're also all shades of the same color. We're all different shades of the same color. Well, Pastor, what color is that? The color of dirt. Come on, go back to the book of Genesis. God made us from dirt. So we're all dirt colored. I hope you, okay, I want you to realize that this morning, that we're all the color of dirt. If you want to know where you came from, you don't have to log on to ancestry.com. You can go out with a shovel behind the church, dig a hole, and that's what you came from. Some of y'all need to remember that when you walk around all bougie and all such and much. You need to remember you ain't nothing but dirt. If you're brave enough, tell your neighbor, you're dirt. I'll prove it to you. Genesis 2 verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. You're dirt. The only difference between you and a pile of dirt is the breath of God. Okay. I told you we're going to have fun today. Y'all might not have fun, but I'm going to have fun. You're dirt, y'all. We're the same race. We're all part of the same family. We're all different shades of the same color. And I think that people tend to present us as more different than we really are. For example, two of the most common labels in our culture are what? Black and white. And I'll tell you the truth. I have never seen a black person, and I've never seen a white person. If I did, I would probably run away as fast as I could. Because none of us are really black or really white, okay? Listen, this is not white. My skin is not white, okay? I'm offended by that term. I am light cashew. And if I stay out and work in the yard a lot in the summer, okay, I become original glazed. That's my ethnicity, y'all. And back in high school when I played soccer and ran track, I was a Cajun Supreme. I think we get caught up in labels. But the way I see it is we're all just different shades of dirt. That's it. And I think the enemy will do everything he can to divide us because he knows that when we're united, he can't stop us. And I pray that we would just stop using so many labels all the time. Talk about every time you tell a story, if you have to tell me the ethnicity of everybody in the story, maybe you're focusing on the wrong stuff. Come on now. I'm telling you. Why don't we just focus on people? I remember some of our military folks were telling me that in their experience in the military, it was just so countercultural to what you see a lot of times in the outside, the civilian world, because there's just less of a focus and sometimes not a focus at all on somebody's ethnicity. And I think the church can learn from that, y'all. We're in the army of God, amen? Maybe we need to stop using labels all the time and we learn to see people as people. Well, what color were they? Dirt! I dare you, next time you fill out a form, not an employment form, but something else, something not important, write dirt, okay? Dirt. I'm dirt. Light cashew. Original glazed. Toasted almond. Listen, if God doesn't focus on the outward appearance, then why should we? 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We're all the same race. And because we're all the same race, we actually all have the same skin. Did you know that? We have the same skin. So let's say, for example, that I had a burn on my arm and I was in the hospital and I needed a skin graft. Do you know that if Alan Jones volunteered some of his skin, that they could take skin off of his body and put it on my body and it would grow and my body would heal using his skin? Amen. We're the same race, y'all. We got the same skin. The only difference is some of y'all are best blessed with more melanin than others of us. Hard word to say. I sound like Hudson. Melanin. Some of y'all got a lot. Some of y'all, well, you got a little bit. But you know what's funny to me is that people who don't have high levels of melanin will go and pay good money to get a spray tan so they can fake it like they got a bunch of melanin. I think that's hilarious. You got to watch that spray tan now. You come out looking like a Oompa Loompa. Donald Trump. Aren't you glad I warned you about that? But even though we have different levels of melanin, we all have the same skin. We're all different shades of dirt. Okay? You might as well call racism dirtism. Judging people because they came from a different shade of dirt than you did. That's just ridiculous, y'all. Since y'all are just shouting too loud, I'm gonna keep going. Number one, I just got 3 points. That's it. 3 points and we're done. Number one, we're all the same race. Number two, very important, we're all made in the image of God. Yeah. All people are made in God's image. Every man, every woman, every child, every ethnicity, every socioeconomic status, every nationality, all human beings are made in the image of Almighty God. So just brag on somebody. Tell them, I'm made in His image. Genesis 1:27 says that God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And I don't know how anybody who reads the Bible could be racist. Because my Bible says that God made all people in His image. And that means that all people are of equal value in God's eyes. Listen, if you want to teach your children to be racist, do not teach them the Bible. If you want your children to be racist, teach them evolution. It's very important. Evolution says that we're all animals competing for the top position. Did you know that evolution backs up racism? Evolution teaches tribalism, and it teaches that it's in our nature to compete, that one group wants to assert dominance over another group. I would never teach my child that garbage. Tribalism. Evolution says that ultimately one tribe will emerge as the dominant tribe over the other tribes, and that the other tribes will be inferior to the dominant tribe. Look it up, y'all. Evolution validates racism, but the Bible destroys racism. Racism is not compatible with the Christian faith. Did you know that the kingdom of God is a distinctly multicultural kingdom? Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, Daniel says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. I love that title for God, the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, all nations, and all languages should serve him. God's kingdom is a multicultural kingdom of people of all nations and all languages, all people groups. Racism is not compatible with the kingdom of God. Revelation 7 verse 9 says this, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, all tribes, all peoples, and all tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. If you're a Christian, you are part of a multicultural family. In fact, if you're a child of God, I'll put it in the world's terminology, you're part of an interracial family, whether you like it or not. Because the kingdom of God is a multicultural kingdom, a multicultural family. Let me tell you something that's going to shake you up. Are y'all ready to be shook up a little bit? Come on, just go ahead and buckle your seatbelt, hang on to your seat cushions. If you hate your fellow man, you hate God. Ooh, I don't say that. The Bible says that. When you call another human being a racial slur and you degrade them, you're not just calling them that name, you're calling God that name. Why? Because you're mocking the image of God. I don't know about you, that's not where I want to be when Jesus comes back. James 3 verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Before you start judging somebody based on the color of their skin, just remember this. They didn't choose what skin tone they would have, but God did. And they are made in his image, fashioned after him. And when God created that person, he didn't use the leftovers. He used the very best stuff he's got. He didn't make anybody out of junk. He took a part of himself and he created that person, fashioned after him, to be a masterpiece. And if you hate that person, you hate the one who created them. And let me tell you one more thing before I go to my last point. And one more thing, and this is really the point of my message today, is that there is no such thing as a racist Christian. Amen. No such thing. Does not exist. There might be racist church people, but there's never been a racist Christian. And I'll tell you why. 1 John 4 verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, but he who does not love does not know God. If you hate your fellow man, you don't even know God. I know this is controversial and you might not like it, but I'm going to say it. You can't be racist and go to heaven, y'all. Because if you hate your fellow man, you don't love God. The Bible says it. God is love. And those who love are born of God and they know God. So if you're racist, you got some decisions to make. If you're listening to this message and you are racist, then you got something you need to think about. You need to make up your mind. Am I going to hold on to racism or am I going to lay hold of eternal life? Because you can't have both. That leads me to my last point today. Musicians, you can go. You guys can go ahead and come. Last point. Aren't you glad? Last point, number three. We're all, okay? Number one, we're all the same race. Number two, we're all made in the image of God. Number three, we're all going to die one day. Last time I checked, the mortality rate is still 100%. Okay? You are going to die, and that is not a threat. It's the truth. Every one of us, regardless of our skin tone, regardless of the amount of money we have in the bank, regardless of the amount of languages that we speak, or the number of friends we have, or the number of people who follow us on Instagram, all of us will die eventually. A wise man once said, if you live every day as if it's your last, one day you're going to be right. If you live every day as if it's your last, one day you're going to be right. Listen, God gave us life. And one day every one of us will stand before God and give an account of what we did with the life he gave us. Bible says that it is appointed for us once to die, and after that, the judgment. So what the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 is, it appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Listen, we will all stand before God, but the incredible thing is that Jesus already stood before God on our behalf. Jesus already paid the price for our freedom and our forgiveness. And if you turn from sin and trust in Jesus, the amazing thing is that your debt has already been paid. I think we spend way too much time putting labels on people. Y'all know our culture we live in is a name-calling culture. Always pointing fingers at somebody, always calling somebody names, always categorizing people. And the truth is, there's really only two types of people. Those who are lost, those who are saved. You are going to spend eternity somewhere, and it comes down to this. What did you do with Jesus? Did you receive him or did you turn him away? Nothing else matters. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to God except they come through me. And the wonderful thing about Jesus is that Jesus will accept with open arms all who come to him. So I want to encourage you today. Choose Jesus. Let this be your day of destiny. Let this be your new beginnings today. Choose Jesus and choose life. Jesus wasn't white, he wasn't black, he wasn't Asian, he wasn't Hispanic, but there are people from all of those categories in this room and in this church who have been saved and washed by the blood of Jesus. I encourage you this morning to join people from every nation, from every language, and every tongue who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says those who trust in God will never be put to shame. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that if you give your life to Jesus, all your problems are going to disappear. But this is what I am telling you, is that when you trust Jesus, it doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what you go through. He said, I will be there with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. No matter what problems you face, I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. I'll give you wisdom, and I'll guide you every step of the way. He promised to work all things for the good of those who love him. Put your trust in Jesus this morning. Come to him just the way you are and let him change your life today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you that Jesus is the answer to racism. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're the answer to every sin. And Lord, I thank you, God, for your wonderful mercy and your wonderful love. The God that you have loved us even when we were unlovable. You said in your word, you demonstrated your love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made. We thank you that because of your blood, because of the sacrifice you made for us, that we can have new life, that we can have a new beginning, that we don't have to live under the guilt of the past or the fear of tomorrow, but we can walk in freedom. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for moving on people's hearts this morning, God, to trust you, to follow you with their whole heart. Thank you, Lord. I want to lead you in a simple prayer this morning to help you start your journey of faith. Listen, don't go another day under the guilt of sin. Don't live another day under the fear of your past. Trust Jesus this morning and he will set you free. I want to lead you in a simple prayer, and I ask you all to pray this prayer with me out loud together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And Jesus, with your help, I'll follow you. I'll trust you. I'll rely on you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray that prayer a minute with all your heart, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. I want to ask you to stand with me for a moment as the ushers come.